Good morning. Open up your Bibles to Ezekiel 34. All the scriptures will be on the screen tonight, or this morning, but not Ezekiel 34, because it's a little bit of a lengthier reading. So open your Bibles or your phones or tablets there, please. So before Moses died, notice what he said to the Lord in Numbers 27, 16 through 17. He said, "Let the Lord appoint a man over the congregation who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd." Moses was concerned that once he died, the people would be scattered. They wouldn't be taken care of. They wouldn't have a good director, a good spiritual guider, guidance. And so the Lord responded to his request by appointing Joshua over the people. He led the people into the promised land, and that was a great success. All the days of Joshua, the Bible tells us, the people feared the voice of God and they obeyed him. But when Joshua died, they went their own direction. They started doing whatever they wanted to do. And what we find throughout Israel's history after that point is that when there was good spiritual leadership, most of the people, or at least a larger portion of the people, followed the Lord. When the leaders died, they threw off all inhibitions and did whatever they wanted to do. There was always a remnant, of course, but this shows us the huge importance of good spiritual leadership throughout God's word and throughout Israel's history. It was super important. But unfortunately, what we find is that later on in Israel's history, the leaders just start going downhill more and more. The shepherds of Israel aren't taking care of their people, aren't guiding them in a good, healthy direction as they should. And I want you to notice Ezekiel 34, how that takes place. Ezekiel 34, notice verses 1 through 6 with me. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search for them." God tells Ezekiel to tell the shepherds, like, what are you doing? You're eating my sheep. You're supposed to be taking care of them and feeding them. None of the weak, none of the sick, none of the lost were being taken care of or searched after. And so the sheep were scattered as wild animals came and attacked them. And of course, Ezekiel says later on in this text at the end of the chapter, God's not talking about literal sheep and literal shepherds. He's talking about God's people and the leaders over them, especially their spiritual leaders, but all their leaders over them. Isaiah speaks to this problem as well in Isaiah 28:7. Notice how he describes the priests and the prophets. This is a shocking picture. He says, "And those also stagger from wine and reel from beer. Priests and prophets stagger from beer and are befuddled with wine. They reel from beer. They stagger when seeing visions. They stumble when rendering decisions." If you wanted good counsel from a spiritual leader in those days, good luck. They were too stuck on their wine. When they gave you judgments, it was no good. It was not real wisdom from God. In Isaiah 56:10, God accuses the leaders of the people of being blind without any knowledge. They were dogs that couldn't bark. They were silent, and they loved their sleep. Loved to sleep. I want you to imagine what it would have been like to be a lamb, to be part of the sheep, to be a person in Israel in these days. There are many voices, but there is not one clear voice of wisdom standing out above the crowd, leading you in a good direction. Imagine what that would be like. And then the loudest voices, they come up over the crowd, but they sound harsh. And they don't love you. They don't love the people around you. And when you seek the loud voices for counsel, they don't really know their stuff. They're not really helpful in what they have to speak to. They stumble in giving you good judgment. And whenever the wild animals come, they run. Because in reality, they don't really care about you. They just care about themselves. And they're feeding themselves off of you. Imagine what that would be like to be a part of a congregation that's in this situation where the leaders don't really care that much about the people. Maybe they smile and sound nice, but in reality, they don't really love you or care about you. You know, that happens in churches today. That happens. It's not unheard of at all. So God says in this text, throughout the rest of the text, he essentially says, you shepherds, you're fired. And I want you to notice the solution he comes to in the rest of the text. We're not going to read the rest of the chapter, just little sections. I want you to notice first verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. Now skip down and notice verses 14 through 16. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. So here's God. He's coming in and saying, you shepherds, you're not doing your job. You're fired. I'm going to come in. Since none of y'all can heal my sheep or look for my sheep, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go look for them, and then I'm going to bring them to green pasture, and I'm going to feed them. But I want you to notice how he concludes the text in verse 23, or part of the conclusion of the text. We get more specificity. Notice verse 23. He says, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And the New Testament tells us that Jesus is the fulfillment of this image. Jesus is the David who comes in as the good shepherd. As Danny read for us last week in John chapter 10, he is the good shepherd. And we're going to go to that text in just a moment. But here's the question I want to consider with you for a few minutes. How is Jesus different than other shepherds? How is he really actually different? Well, in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, Jesus is described in this way. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. See, when the previous shepherd saw the sheep confused, I want you to, by the way, be thinking about humans when we're thinking about sheep. And think about how you perceive other people. When they saw other sheep confused, lost, sick, tempted, lonely, afflicted by enemies, they didn't care. In fact, they ran in the other direction, as we'll consider a moment. They didn't have compassion. Jesus, when he looked at them, he had compassion. He didn't say, man, you dumb sheep, look at what you've gotten yourselves into. He had compassion on them. And in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4, we get another picture, a prophetic picture of Jesus. See, the previous shepherds, whenever you sought them for counsel and they try to give you some judgment and some counsel, the Bible tells us time and again that they had no real knowledge of God's word. Yeah, they sounded like they knew it. Yeah, they walked the walk before everybody. But whenever you got down to it in the core, they didn't really know God's word. They couldn't really give you good judgment. But notice the description of Jesus here, of this prophetic description of him. It says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with the word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. Imagine what it's like to go to someone who's really known for their counsel, or at least is supposed to be able to give you good counsel, but they can't give you good, wise counsel. Jesus listens to God morning by morning. Why? So that his tongue will be well taught. So that if you're weary, he can sustain you with real truth. Not some chicken soup for the soul, but real truth from God. And you know, what was the reaction to the people whenever they heard God's or Jesus teaching? Do you remember what they said of him? It says that they were amazed of him at his teaching because his teaching carried real authority. Why is that? I've always said that it was because he would have spoken differently. And I think there's absolutely truth to this. He would have spoken differently. He wouldn't have said, well, you know, this is what it says in the Bible, but I'm telling you this. He would actually say, I'm commanding you this. I think there's truth to that, but I think there's even more. He spoke with authority, not like everybody else, because he knew his Bible. He knew the Word of God. He had a tongue that was taught, that was well educated. And so he could really sustain those who were weary. But we can't miss the contrast in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13, where Jesus contrasts himself with the hired hands. Jesus says there, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I want you to put yourself in the situation of a shepherd. Imagine you're in the pasture with, let's say, 100 other sheep. It's peaceful, nice, and then you see come out of the woods a great big wolf, and he's darting for you and the sheep. Or imagine it as a lion or a great bear, and he's coming after you and the sheep. What do you do? Do you run? Or do you stay and protect? The hired hand runs because he doesn't care about these sheep. Yeah, right, man. I don't get paid enough to put myself in harm's way. Yeah, right. But not the good shepherd. I realized something as I was preparing for the sermon. As much as I make fun of our dog and I get really annoyed at him, you know, I thought, what would I do if another vicious dog came at that dog? Well, that dog is so dumb sometimes, but you know what? I love that dog. I would get in front of him. I know I've heard a story where Tim did that with his dog too, right? It's just what we do, right? When you own it, it's different. And that's the way it is with Jesus and the sheep. He's the good shepherd. He's willing to put himself in harm's way. There's some sort of, when you own the sheep, when you own that dumb animal, and you take ownership for it, there's just some sort of emotion and love that takes over, and you can't help but put yourself in harm's way to rescue. And that is absolutely true of what Jesus did. In John, later on, I believe it's in chapter 18, whenever Judas and the soldiers come with all the darkness of the world to come and arrest Jesus, you know what he says? If you're looking for me, let these people go. Let my followers go. He was not willing to lose one sheep. We deserve all the darkness, all the death to come upon us for all of our dumb actions and all of our foolishness. But he was not willing to lose a single one of us to the evil one. He took all the darkness and the death upon himself. By the way, that's why Ezekiel says that the shepherd who would come would be David. Because that's exactly the kind of shepherd that David was. You know the description where, when David says, yeah, whenever a bear or a lion came after my sheep, you notice how he took a rock and a sling and he attacked it. Or he went up and wrestled it to the ground and ripped it open. I mean, can you imagine doing that to a bear or to a lion, ripping it with your hands? He was willing to put himself in harm's way on his best days, though later on he became the wolf himself. That's why Ezekiel says, yeah, the good shepherd, he's going to be David. But I think the really cool thing about the prophets is they don't just give this picture of what Jesus would be. And the Bible doesn't just paint this picture of who Jesus is. But rather, they take it one step further. And even the prophets speak of a day when there wouldn't just be one good king or one good shepherd. There would be princes and shepherds to come afterwards. Notice Isaiah 32 verses 1 through 4. Look, a righteous king is coming, and honest princes who will rule under him. Each one will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in a parched land. Then everyone who has eyes will be able to see the truth, and everyone who has ears will be able to hear it. Even the hotheads will be full of sense and understanding. Those who stammer will speak out plainly. Isn't that neat? There's not just a king that's coming, but princes who will rule under him. And those princes, they're going to be like refreshing streams of water, like refreshing shade in a hot day. They're going to be shelter from the storm and from the wind. They'll cause eyes and ears to open, just like Jesus caused eyes and ears to open. Jeremiah, in chapter 23, in a text that's very similar to Ezekiel 34, he doesn't talk about the one shepherd that will come. He says, I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. This is what I love so much about Jesus. Don't you? He doesn't just come and live as a righteous king and as a righteous shepherd and care about people. He gets on to his followers whenever they start acting like the rulers of the world. You know, whenever they come to a town that rejects them, they say, hey, Jesus, should we call down fire on them right now? And Jesus says, no, shut up. Stop it. Don't do that. That's not how we behave. And they start arguing about which one of them is the greatest. No. That's not how we behave. That's how the rulers of the world behave. We're different. Jesus is raising up a whole new generation of leaders who use power and influence differently to serve and care for others. And I'm so thankful that that is the case here. And I'm so sad that in other places that is so often not the case. That leaders will use their power, even in churches, for selfish reasons. I am so, so thankful for those in this church who have taken responsibility on themselves. I'm thankful for the deacons, for the servants who serve in a variety of ways, for the teachers, for the encouragers, the evangelistic people, the organizers who have taken responsibility on themselves. They've seen the sheep in the world. They've seen the sheep in this congregation, and you care about them. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for taking your time and your energy and taking responsibility upon yourself. I'm thankful for our shepherds. You know, each of our shepherds have given up traditional retirements to serve this congregation. And I know it's a thankless job. And I have to say, they've got a lot of weight on them. And I'm really thankful for them. I want you to encourage them to keep doing what they're doing. You know, it's not a given that we would have the leaders that we have in this congregation. It's not a given. The church that I came from in Florida did not have this. And it was very challenging. It's very challenging. I can't stress that enough, how challenging that is. It's not a given that into the future at Alston Road, we will have leadership like this. That we'll have leadership at all or leadership like this. And the real challenge, guys, the real challenge is this. If we get 10, 20, however many years down the road, and we realize, we don't have good leadership here. We don't have good spiritual leadership. You know, that's not something that can be solved overnight. Oh, well, I'll step up and I'll be good spiritual leadership. No, it's not something that's solved overnight. It takes years of preparation for someone to step up and do that. Not perfection by any means, but preparation, mental and with your life. But I want to say this. Sometimes we might think as sheep, like we just want any shepherd. Just get someone to be a loud voice in the mess and give us some direction. I don't care if it's a very good direction, but just give us something, right? Sometimes as sheep, we can be like that. Just give us some sort of direction. It's better than nothing. God's concern, listen really clearly, God's concern for this church is not that we would have leadership, but that we would have good leadership that follows after the direction of the good shepherd. And that takes years of preparation and practice once you're in the position too. And so, if you're here this morning and let's say you're a young parent or you're a young professional or you're a college student or a high school student or you're 13, or even if you can hear me and you're 5 years old, boy or girl, man or woman, able later on to serve in an official capacity with some sort of title or no title, doesn't matter. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, Caleb, Gabriel, Abigail, Salvador, Anna Mercedes, took me a moment, Jordan, Jonathan, Jacob, G-Boy, Madeline, Hannah, Andrew, Ruthie, John Michael, Wesley, I'm talking to all of you. God's sheep need you. They need you. I want you to think right now, are you going to be a hired hand who doesn't really care about the people around you? Or are you going to be different? Are you going to rise up and help the brothers and sisters around you? What can you do now? We're not going to slap you with a big title right now or lots of responsibility right now, but what can each one of us, including our kids, do right now to prepare for that great need? What can we do? There's so much I want to say, but I just want to leave you with two principles that we've already talked about this morning. The goal is to be like Jesus, to lead like Jesus, to shepherd like Jesus. And I think one of the first ways that we can do that is we can see sheep like Jesus sees sheep. So here's the message. See sheep like Jesus sees sheep. The hired hands, they didn't take ownership of the sheep. So here's what I want you to do. Look at the people around you in a different light. See them as your sheep. They're Jesus's sheep. But see them as your sheep. They won't tell you this, but the people around you, the elders know this, I know this, and others of you know this here. The people around you, they're not going to say it, but they're lonely. Some of them are lonely. Some of them are stressed. Some of you are hurting. Some of you are confused. Some of you are depressed. Some of you are tempted by sin. Some of you are even lost. The sheep need you. You're responsible to them. Care for them. See them as your sheep with compassion. Not look at them and say, man, you're just so dumb for getting yourself in this mess. No, they're your sheep. Take care of them. Take care of them. A second thing to do is listen to God morning by morning, day by day, so that your tongue is educated, so that your tongue is well taught. When the other counselors had people come to them, they couldn't give good judgment. And I have to say, this is a problem throughout the Bible, and it reveals itself today. Guys, there are plenty of people who are willing to have a loud voice and counsel or teach or preach. And Paul talks about that in the New Testament. Paul says, Timothy, you need to tell some of those people to be quiet. They think they're teachers, but you need to tell them to sit down. We don't need people to stand up and just lead with a voice and just say whatever they think about the world and life. We need people with tongues who are taught. God needs people with tongues who are taught. You know, the sad thing and the really difficult thing, one of the challenges, this will be one of the things we'll talk about in our group meetings this afternoon. One of the challenges in leadership, though, is that Isaiah and Jeremiah both say it. You know what we as sheep so often love? You know what we love? Often we love false teachers. We love people who sound smooth and say, peace, peace. We love it. And you know what God's people used to do? They used to yell at Isaiah and say, talk no more of the Holy One of Israel. And to Jeremiah, who are you for condemning our nation and city? Stop it. You should die for saying such a thing. We love it when people say that everything is good. We love it when people aren't well educated with their tongues. And listen, when I'm talking about good teachers and counselors and shepherds, I'm not talking about people who have smooth tongues and who talk well, or have flashy shirts. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who just know truth, who handle God's word honorably and teach it to people. Only then can we sustain the weary with a word. You want to be able to help someone, youngsters. You want to be able to help someone who's stressed or confused and needing direction. Learn God's word and apply it to yourself, and then you can help others with it too. See them as your sheep and develop a tongue that is taught. That's the message this morning, and that's the message of God's word. We need shepherds of all sorts. We need leaders from God's people to rise up for the next generation so that we're not left alone for the wolves or the lions or the bears to take over and to attack. We don't need hired hands. We need people who love the sheep and lay down their lives for them just as Jesus did. Will you be that person, male or female, young or old? Will you be that person for this church? I hope you will be. We're going to meet in group meetings this afternoon, and we're going to discuss this more, talk about challenges, talk about opportunities, and I hope you'll join us in those. I'm really excited about the time we get to spend together this afternoon. We're going to sing a song right now that's meant to encourage you in your walk with God. If we can encourage you, talk to us, talk to the shepherds, talk to us privately, or come forward to the front while we stand and sing.